Today, following from our gospel, I'm going to preach on the sacrament of matrimony. For those of you who think this might be challenging to you, rest assured, you'll be a little bit more consoled by the end. For those of you who feel there's no challenge in my words, be forewarned that there will be challenge for everyone. I hope and my goal is by the end of this homily, you'll realize the challenges that lay before us in really supporting and recognizing the dignity and importance of marriage in our world, and also places where we have failed and need to change our tune so that as to best present the gospel as it is written. So let's start out with the most foundational point. What is marriage? We talk about it a lot, we mention it in many settings, but what does the church teach about marriage? What the church teaches about marriage is something very beautiful, and it starts with a very foundational point that it is a vocation, a calling from God. Not just something we fall into, like, hey, I kind of like you, let's make this happen. Let's kind of be committed. No, the church has a very strong foundation through which she starts with marriage. That it's not just a vocation, it's a sacrament. It's not just that God called two people together, but that he's imbuing this relationship of these two people with grace. He is the center point of that relationship, that through it, he's showing his salvation to the world. That's the beauty of marriage. And going all the way back to the Old Testament, God shows from there how he made this foundation. In the Old Testament, God has two main relationships he has with his people. One of spouse, he's the husband, Israel's the wife, and one is children. He is the father, they are his children. So that even the people of Israel, he takes to himself to show one of the foundational cores of marriage, which is commitment. He shows that he's committed to his people through and through, regardless of how much they harass him, regardless of how much they don't follow the commandments, regardless of all the many, many ways they screwed up, God was never going to leave them, which is our starting point for marriage too. Marriage isn't just about love. Actually, love comes later down the line. The first point of marriage is commitment. I am choosing to be with this person for life. The vows state we are through and through with each other, good times and in bad, sickness and health, till death do us part. Now, before I get any farther, you might think it's weird for a celibate man to be talking about marriage, considering I've never been married. But nevertheless, the two sacraments of vocation are holy orders and marriage. They are parallel sacraments, and they're meant to be that way. Both of them show committed love. Both of them show God's grace. So even though I am not married, I have counseled enough, and I have seen enough, and I have prayed enough to know what commitment means, so I can preach on it. And this is that beauty, that committed love, that even in times where you're angry at each other, you turn and say, this is the one for me. Think of those words from our first reading in Genesis. Adam sees Eve for the first time, and what's his exclamation? Ah, at last, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, this is the one for me. Feel the exclamation in his voice. There is nothing else in creation he would rather be with. This is that committed love I speak about. That, when you're angry at each other, no, this is the one for me. When you're in the depths of distress, no, this is the one for me. When sadness has overshadowed your relationship, no, this is the one for me. When you're elated and it's happy and everything is good and there's flowers and roses and rainbows, no, this is the one for me. Because that's what committed love means. And from there, love flows. Not love and then you're committed. From commitment, love flows. And then you realize that love is a sacrifice. Love demands from us. Love requires our very being. And that's that commitment. So this is the beginning of what the church teaches. And it's symbolized in the wedding band, a circle. Circles don't have an end. Neither does the sacrament. It's also committed, as shown in the vows, that they pronounce words to each other. The community hears it. The priest receives it. And also in the couple themselves, that it shows God's love for his church, his deep, unending love for his people. This is the beauty of marriage. This is what we celebrate. Or do we? That's the big challenge. According to the CDC, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. According to the USCCB, 25% of all Catholic marriages end in divorce, and a third of Catholics are remarried. There's clearly some problem there, and I fault the church, all of us, that we have not really supported marriage in the way we ought to. So So to begin, I want to talk to all you young people or those who are not married. I want to encourage you very strongly to see marriage as a vocation, not something you just fall into, because the world is harsh to us, immensely harsh to us. It makes marriage seem as some fleeting desire that, you know, we can be married now and then a few years later we're done and we'll find someone else. We'll figure it out eventually. That only leads to more depression. That leads to anxiety. That leads to the fallenness of our world. Don't be like that. Be something different. And I wish I could give you more, but unfortunately the church has not helped out much in this. If you were to go look for pamphlets on religious vocations or discerning the priesthood, you'll find a plethora of books. If you're looking for something on discerning marriage, there's almost nothing. We have almost nothing out there on how to discern a call to be married. Isn't that shocking? But here's the advice I can give. A little piece of advice, and it's this simple. Pray. Pray together. If you want God in your relationship and you want it to be a vocation, then ask Him. That's the best advice. And it's not praying, God, do you want me to be married? Because He might have a lot of ideas for you. Do you want me to be married to this person? Marriage is not a call to a vocation. It's a call to a vocation of a person. And that's the important point we must make. I am called to marry this person. Not just in general, this person. That's why we have to be specific. Now I want to speak to all of you who have been married and divorced. There's great sadness in divorce. And the greatest sadness out there is how the church, or how you feel the church, has represented you. So often people who are divorced feel like they're alienated from the church, or there's great animosity. That does not need to be the case. That needs to change. Divorced people are welcome in our church. They are welcome because they are members of our family, members that we need to support. We want to support you. We want to guide you. We want to walk with you on this very difficult path. No one divorces willy-nilly, especially in the church. There is some serious issue that happened. There is a part where it broke down. Let's not play the blame game. It's not helpful. Let's not try and figure out what happened. Let's let it be over, and let's let the healing begin. We, as the people of God, need to work to help to support divorced people. They are still welcome to come to communion. The issue is remarriage, not divorce. When you're remarried, you have done what Jesus said against today, which means you have made two marriage covenants when you can't. That doesn't work. However, if you are just divorced, you can still come to communion. The church still allows it. But let's find ways for healing. Let's work through the annulment process, or let's work towards allowing the relationship to be healed, which is what annulments are for, and let you be able to move on into newness of life. That's the goal. All these things that go around divorce and annulments and stuff are meant to bring healing so that we can move on to new things and not be tied to our past. That's the goal of that. What about those of you who are not married in the church, civilly married people? I can't encourage you enough to come to me. Let's bring God into your relationship. Why should you have to wander through the marriage life of all the challenges and difficulties and things that you may experience without grace? I don't try to make this hard. I want you to be married in the church. Why would I not? Let's make the sacrament a vocation, not just some civil union. That's our goal. We want God's grace in your marriage just as much as God wants it. If not, He wants it more. But that's the point. Let's bring God into your relationship. Don't be afraid. It's simple. It's four sessions with a married couple, and then we can validate it. We make it valid in the church's mind. Simple stuff. Do not be afraid. It's not that things screwed up and you're a horrible person. That's not the way we see things. We want to bring healing, make the relationship right, make God's grace flow again. Now, for all of you who are married, I have a very strong challenge for you and an apology. The church has done very little to support married couples. Let's be very blunt. We have some marriage encounter weekends, we have some resources, but what do we do as a church to support marriages? If you think I'm blind to what's going on, I'm clearly not, because I know the challenges of married life. I know how easy it is to get into arguments where you're fighting with each other and at odds, maybe even to the point of wanting to strangle each other because you just can't get things right. I know what it's like to have sadness where things just aren't going right. That spark of love is smoldering into a wick that just kind of floats away with the smoke. And what it's also like to have deep challenges of loss. Guess what? We're all there. Almost every marriage has experienced almost all of what I've talked about, which means we're all in the same place. We keep trying to hide the darkness and the challenges that come with marriage. And that's sad, because then we don't get help. We don't have ways to walk through it. Those of you who are in your elder years are an inspiration to us in that you have shown us committed love, being married 50, 60, 70 years. I remember a couple from Superior who now celebrate their 70th year of marriage this last December. 70 years. They are a sweet, awesome couple that just ebb with the love they have for each other. They show what Adam said. This is my flesh and my bone. Who else would I want? So let us work to support each other. Let us work to work through the challenges together. This vocation is not meant for the individual couple. It's meant for everyone. Because through the sacrament of marriage, through the challenges, through the distress, through the joys, God shows his love to the world. And that's what we need to do too. That's why marriage is a vocation, that the world may see love, that the world may see what commitment looks like, that the darkness of the world may shine with the glimmering of all the wonderful married vocations that change it from a dark sky to a night sky. That's the beauty of marriage. So let us work together. Let us work together to support everyone who has been called to the vocation of marriage. Let us work together to fight through the challenges and see what committed love really looks like. Let us show the world that there's a reason why marriage is a sacrament and not just a union pronounced by some civil authority, but something to which God has blessed, something that shows God's great love, something that reminds us that love is still in the world and empowered by every married couple, and empowered because God wills to show everyone his great and merciful love.